Is organizational loyalty overrated?
The concept of loyalty itself now shouldn't even be discussed, in my opinion.
Your learning will also plateau after a point if I'm doing the same thing.
You are the code SSDD.
Same shit, different day.
So there is also a joy in sticking on to where you are because of the different experiences.
Loyalty flows both ways, right? So if an employee is dedicating their time, effort, energy towards one organization, then the outcome should also be a similar manner.
If you get bored of things too quickly, I'm sorry, but you're not going to create anything material.
Aseem, Lewis, Ishan and Arshi, welcome to the Barbershop Bridge Edition. Today, our first topic is about building careers and organizational loyalty. A lot of us grew up with, you know, with this thinking that, you know, go to a company, stay the course, the company will take care of you. We've all been beneficiaries of it in some shape or form. But I think nowadays, there's a lot more dissonance about, is the organization giving back to me what it should in terms of stability, financial remuneration, other things. And a lot of people are now starting to feel that loyalty is very overrated. So, yeah. Is organizational loyalty overrated? Yes or no? And that's a discussion.
Loyalty flows both ways, right? So, if an employee is dedicating their time, effort, energy towards one organization, then the outcome should also be a similar manner, that they're getting what they aspire to be through the organizational route. If that's not what's happening inside one organization, then it makes sense to maybe find a new opportunity. What suits you better?
So there's a lot to unpack here. Okay, the questions that are being tabled are, is it a two-way street?
Yeah.
If so, then one end is not being met. And so then we also should not be expected to meet, and we'll kind of be self-preserving. The other thing to unpack is it even worthwhile? Like, even if, let's say, it's not a layoff situation, is it worthwhile to join, let's say, an organization and stay the course for 30 years? Is the top job or the money I make, etc., worthwhile? And I've been a beneficiary of an organization where I stayed for 4 years, and I'm hoping that the company that I run, it would be the case. But you guys have been beneficiaries as well. What are your thinking about this, and is it changing at all?
I thought about this, and what comes to me is that the word loyalty, where does it really come from? If you actually go back in history, the word loyalty was when kings used to be the main providers of things. And then there were loyal subjects. You know, the word Victorian English for this is the loyal subjects. And you are basically subservient to the king, and loyalty to the king, you know, or kissing the ring, you know, was supposed to be, a way to demonstrate that. So we come from those times, then we moved towards the East India Company, you know, which also, you know, was ruling us and therefore expected loyalty from their staff and employees who were just supposed to do the paperwork. They were not supposed to think. Somewhere after that, you know, came the next version of the Indian business houses, which were again family business houses. So there again, loyalty to the family was given. The munim, you know, who was loyal to the family, trusted, was given a higher, status compared to anybody else who was not yet trusted by the states. So that's where we have come from. Cut to today, that word actually has lost all relevance and meaning. So there is the concept of loyalty itself now shouldn't even be discussed, in my opinion. Because the world has changed. Today's entrepreneur himself or herself could be building a company to sell. So it is not even as if the employer itself, you know, is going to win this game. A private equity, when it starts a business, it is a stated objective. It will get out in 7 to 10 years.
Correct.
So now the concept has changed. It has evolved over time. And in today's relationship is more a relationship of equals, where we are saying that you come participate in the build and in the process grow your craft, as well as get a fair remuneration, whether it's in terms of ESOPs or whether it's in terms of bonuses or compensation, which is at par with market. And it's an open market. If you find somewhere else, you know, that you want to go, you know, you may. But it is the objective, you know, that if the company wants to build a long tenure business, it has to find ways to retain its people for long. The way you retain it is not by teaching them loyalty lessons. That is what has changed. But to make it worthwhile for them to stay back.
I think we're all sitting on the same table with the same point of view.
I changed many jobs. So I admitted the last person to say that, you know, people should be loyal to organizations. My dad spent most of his career, I think 30 odd years in one company. So when we grew up with that sort of a view, my father-in-law spent his entire career working in the Indian Army. So, you know, so I grew up in that environment. And I will just do the math on it. I've been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 7 jobs before I quit working at 48. And that excludes any internship. I keep joking with my wife that the only thing that I've had which has remained for a long term is my marriage with my wife and my mobile phone number. Yes, everything else has been...
There's a correlation there, Amar.
Don't read too much into that. But the fact, I think, what I've learned is that everyone should focus on self-interest. And you're very true. Companies aren't loyal. So, you know, there are some companies who are loyal. There are some people out there. But I think it's going to be a very small minority. And if a company will not hold on to you when you have a problem or when the company has a problem, why should you hold on to the company? So I agree with that logic totally. So we're all driven by self-interest. And I think the earliest we realize that, and everyone acknowledges it, it makes life simple. Because this thing of people are working for the greater glory of something is nonsense. We work for self-interest. And the self-interest could be the joy of building up something long-term. That's fine. But when I see people moving, my only advice to them is move strategically. I see a lot of people moving to get a little bit more money, or you know, they don't like the food, or they don't like the boss yelled at them, or something like that, which to me are wrong reasons to move. You got to show tenacity to learn and to sort of stick on and develop skills. I see a lot of people leaving also, I've learned enough, there's nothing more to learn. Life is not only about, you know, there is a lot to learn also what is managing status quo. We've been the longest I've been in an organization was 8 years at IDFC Private Equity, and 6 years at HDFC Bank. You were longer at HDFC Bank, 20 years. Now, it's not that every day you came in and learned something new, but you learned about dealing with people, and that's an important skill. People underrate that skill about dealing in status quo.
Yeah.
So I think it's important, but I think the bottom line is we're all driven by self-interest. The entrepreneur, the manager, the employee, the driver. At home, the staff that you have, are you going to give them jobs for life? You'd like to, but if they do something wrong, how many people laid off their staff during COVID? So, it's that chain over there.
My question is, usually compounding also or baseline effects or large outcomes are a result of amount of time. I think you've raised an important point on if you're going to change a job, do it strategically here, right? Because I think a lot of people are in, and you guys should kind of step in here. A lot of people who are younger, I see, kind of take incremental bets, and that extends that period of baselining for way too long. As opposed to if you're in one organization, we see this, for example, HDFC is a classic example, Reliance, HUL, any large organization, the path to the top seems slow at first.
Yeah.
And then sudden, you know, let's say year 11 to 20, and then extremely astronomical in year 21 to 30. That's usually how careers in large organizations are built. But if you are going to change a lot in the first 10, 15 years, then you extend that period a lot more. And I don't think the incrementality kind of adds up a lot. And I think that's usually a good
thing. Yeah, I think so. That's also because, let's say if one is shifting jobs after every 2 years, for example, when you enter a new job, it takes generally about 4 to 6 months to at least be a part of the culture, understand the job. You need to prove yourself. And that takes a lot of time and energy in the beginning, whenever you're joining any new job. And if you keep doing that after every 2 to 3 years, then essentially you're wasting that 12 months of your career in just proving yourself before even you enter and show your impact in the organization. So let's say if you're sticking to one job, I'll give you my example. So I've been with Rebel for 6 years now. I'll complete 6th year in next month. I've been given opportunities to explore different projects within Rebel. Because I had proved my mettle in my first role, right? Movement in the second role was a little easier for me, I would say, as compared to someone who would have hired from outside, because there they would have to first learn everything. the whole position of the company, where we are at currently, what's the ups and downs we've been through in the last 2 years, how do we perceive the next 2 years for our company, and then start actually executing. So from that point of view, I think sticking to job makes a little bit of sense to the compounding point which you mentioned. Yeah.
Because it's not only the salary that compounds.
Yes.
That's a very good point, because there are relationships, there is mentorship, there is a lot more that compounds, and you're changing jobs, it's only the salary, hopefully that you compound, but everything else starts from zero and to come back up and again start from zero and again come back up. So you're making a point.
I just think that, don't you think that your learning will also plateau after a point? If I'm doing the same thing, if not the same thing, if I'm working in a similar profile for maybe 3 years, then at some point of time, I'll feel like, you know, maybe I know how to do this. I am very comfortable doing this. And which is to your point that whenever I shift jobs, I need to spend a year building my equity all over again because I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. So it's actually, to me, it seems like it's a good learning opportunity that I'll do something very different. And I will only add to the skills that I've already built in the last 3 years.
But I want to jump in over here about the fact that I have friends of mine who've been in the same company for 30 years and I've enjoyed it. And I at times envy them that they didn't feel the need to move.
Yeah.
So it's not that everything else. It's like, you know, today it's exciting to be an entrepreneur. So everyone has to be in a startup or an entrepreneur. I mean, no. There are, I mean, you need, if everyone's an entrepreneur, who's going to work for the entrepreneur, you know? So the fact is that people are different. They have different risk appetites. They have different perspectives. And therefore, there's some people, so there's not that, you know, I don't want this conversation to go that, yeah, you've got to keep moving on because companies aren't loyal, employees aren't loyal, therefore you don't need to be loyal. But maybe you enjoy where you are.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine also. You talked about the learning ability. Yes, Davi, there's this, you know, the quote, SSDD, same shit, different day. So, you know, but there is also a virtue. You look at someone who's a teller in a bank. Now it's the same person, but... Or the barista. Now, what I learned from my son, who was a barista in the college cafe where he worked, is that he just enjoyed meeting people. That was the change there when he built up those relationships. Our daughter, when she would work in her college, you know, as part of the sort of team that would take people around campus, she did that for 4 years, same stuff. But it gave her joy meeting different people. So there is also a joy in sticking on to where you are because of the different experiences. It's just that maybe this table around here, you've been here 6 years. The longest I sat at HDFC Bank and I left after 6 years, you know, so.
I think the definition of long is also different, yeah. Right? Maybe for you and for us, honestly speaking, that's one thing which I took out of this discussion. So for me, 6 years is very long. Yeah. I'll be very honest, right?
Yeah. What do you think of 20 years?
Correct.
So I have a slightly different take on this. A banyan tree needs to survive storms, years, weather, to be the tree that it becomes. If you move a banyan from pot to pot, it becomes a bonsai. So, there is some amount of logic to say that you need to survive storms over long tenures. And why does it come? Because everything moves in cycles. Economies move in cycles. For example, I'm in the business of lending. In the last 5 years, everybody who started lending business would think that he's God's gift to mankind because there was no NPS. The cycle is starting now. So you will only now, if you've already changed jobs, you've not even seen the fruits of what you've grown. You've not even learned, good or bad. Every fund manager who has managed funds in the last 4 years may think he's the next Buffett. And you can't blame him for it. His performance shows it. Yeah. But the fact is that he's not seen a single bear cycle yet. And when bear cycles come, how vicious they can be, and how do you manage your portfolio through that cycle and come back and rebuild from there? Unless you have seen the downs as well in anything, if you've only seen the ups, then you are not truly an evolved person. So if you want to really grow in something, one, you have to master something, and that mastery takes years. You know, it is not that, I know, a Pandit, you know, Bhimsen Joshi can say, okay, I've sung enough. Yeah. Now I should start playing the tabla. It doesn't work like that. You know, in no field it works like that. You know, today Virat Kohli can't say that, you know, okay, now I've batted enough, now I'll start bowling. You know, it doesn't work like that. So you have created expertise and mastery over something that is a process of years. If you get bored of things too quickly, I'm sorry, but you're not going to create anything material.
But that's how I think people are thinking today. You know, when they're working in any corporate, there are a couple of things they're looking at. They want very fast learning opportunity. They want very fast career growth at the same time. They want they want regular compensation increases.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they want work-life balance, given all of these things. And honestly, given that job market has also become competitive, you will always try and find the next better thing. Maybe you're optimizing for 3 out of 4, then you're trying to optimize for all 4 out of 4.
Yeah, but you are looking at your job also as a situationship and not a relationship.
I think that's all.
That's a choice. That's a choice, but every choice has a consequence.
Yep. We have the abundance of choice, honestly, given that where we are right now, where we the kind of society we stay. It's just like Netflix. Even if I'm watching the show, back of the mind, I'm like, is there another show which is better than this? And similarly, if I'm it's in a situation, if I'm working here, is there a better job where I could be better? So if might as well explore that as well.
You're kind of taking a lot of jumps just out of FOMO or just feeling like, you know, or maybe the triggers, like what Lewis was saying, the triggers might be a lot more trivial than, and then instead of a banyan tree, you end up 20 years later, you look back and you're like, okay, I have not let the roots and the branches go when I'm a bonsai now. Do you see that happening with your play? And do you think about that as careers, as you guys are, you know, very successful in your respective choices, but do you see that as
so I'll maybe talk about myself. I've been very lucky. So in last 6 years, this is my 4th role at Rebel. So the organizational loyalty is still intact, but my role loyalty might be in question, right? So I've moved from one role to other to 3rd to 4th now. So the opportunities that Rebel provided me, maybe that's one big part in why I'm sticking here.
But if you were, let's say, at the same role for the last 6 years, do you think you would have been at the same organization?
No, I don't think so, personally.
Okay. Because let's look at an organization that both of us were involved with. Then let's look at two people in that organization. Aditya Puri, who did the same role for 30 years.
Yeah.
And look at the organization he built.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one. And then there's a lady, I don't know whether you ever met her, Elam Khan. Mm. So Elam I knew because I knew her dad, and she joined us as a junior sort of person on the team. She's still in the bank, 30 years. And she is, I think, a vice president now. And she sent me a message, Lewis, you know, this is what's happened to me. Both at different levels of the organization. Both stayed on for about 30 years here. One person had the same job. And the other person, you know, grew up in the organization in different jobs. So it's to do also with how you sort of, that self-interest again I come back to. If you're happy doing what you're doing, it's not a job. Even that talk about, you mentioned about work-life balance. If you're happy what you're doing, then that discussion doesn't even come in over there.
Yeah.
But so, how do you deal with, Lewis, like if when you guys are building careers, I'm not sure how much of a daily struggle it was to say, okay, I'm at HDFC, now what's happening at ICICI? What's happening with Mr. Kamath? What's happening there? Because that was not a daily struggle to prove to yourself that your current choice is great. But with them, they are under the, there is a FOMO issue. There, I think, clear understanding that that if I want to build a long career, I will have to make strategic choices, but at the right time. But at the same time, I'm living with this daily struggle that, am I utilizing my time best? And how do you guys think about
it? I never thought about all these things. I think you guys think too much. I have them with my kids. I mean, they're analyzing what will happen. I mean, I had no idea what my next year. People ask me, what are you planning to do next? I said, I don't know. I'm waiting for someone to tell me this. We talked about FOMO. I think we should understand JOMO. And it's so important. I have this as a reminder. I had it for the last 1 year to create a habit in me. And every morning on the top of my calendar, JOMO, to remind me that I just got to be happy about not going into everything and just enjoy the missing out on stuff.
But that's also a privilege, no? When you are 24, 25.
But I was also 24 one time, no? And I never thought like this, yeah? And I was the lowest paid guy in my class as we talked about it. There were times at the end of the month where I started cooking because there was no money to go out and go to a restaurant or buy. I started cooking at home also. That's another story. But the fact is that that's a single privilege. We never started off like that. But even with HDFC Bank, there were none of all this fancy frill stuff over there.
But today, if you're starting HDFC Bank, there will be this. And how do you deal with this?
And see, I mean, if you look at India, the word jobs actually began in 1992 with Manmohan Singh opening up the economy. That was the first time what is now known as a job was born. Before that, you know, you were munim to a seth.
Okay.
It's a different word.
Or you were in the government.
So private sector actually started somewhere around 94, 95 and then started to build from there. So we entered the workforce, you know, around those times. So then we didn't have the current paradox of choice, you know, that is there right now. And the paradox of choice always is that the more choice you have, the more unhappy you become, because you always worry what you are missing out and where that road could have gone. So we were a generation that also grew a little bit out of fear. And today's generation is growing from a little bit out of security and safety. Is willing to try, willing to experiment, willing to fail. Failure was not an option for us. Failure was an end of the road for us. So, all choices that our generation made, most of us, everybody's different, so it's not the same for a generation, but most of us made a choice out of holding on to what is there rather than trying to see what is out there. Today, the thinking is a little reverse, that even if I'm happy where I am, is there something better? Yeah. Or I'm sitting here and somebody, we are colleagues and she's got a job. I'm thinking, am I doing the right thing by continuing to do what I'm doing now?
Yeah.
So should I also be looking out? So the whole thinking has changed, again, it has consequences. When you have too many choices, like Salman Khan, you remain unmarried.
But I actually want to flip this to the other side. So you both have running fantastic organizations. So how do you perceive when you're hiring? Let's say a candidate who switched jobs every 2 to 3 years, or someone who's stuck to one job for 10 years. How do you perceive the difference between those two candidates?
See, most of us are still stuck with the traditional thinking that you do not want people who have moved jobs too often.
And that, what is too often?
That is the unknown. That's no, good question. Most of us are still stuck with thinking that too often means, two or three jobs is quite a bit. But if there's any move that happens within 1 or 2 years, and if that happens frequently, like if you have 2 moves within 1 or 2 years, that is talking more about you than the organization, that you came from. So that's the thinking. However, I think that also we have come a long way, that we have evolved, realize that the generation thinks differently, it approaches things differently. While it has these challenges, it has tremendous capacity to do a lot more within the time frame they are with you. To keep this generation occupied, engaged, and productively contributing is a challenge that we have no choice but to accept and figure out a way.
This has been fascinating, by the way. And, thank you, Arshi and Ishan, you guys are, there's much to learn. Every time I kind of talk to, folks who are much younger in our organization also, like 3-4 years back, I used to think that generation is so different, their work-life balance, especially when I got it. I just think that you guys have a very difficult life, man. Like, going with the flow was so easy for us, but for you, it's not that easy. You're always there, always like 20 headlights on you. You always are second guessing yourself all the time. It was a really hard thing to do. And, you guys seem to be very mature, stable-headed people. So I really hope people watching this take some inspiration to realize that it's okay to be yourself and to kind of allow yourself to go with the flow often, because clearly people who have been successful have been cheerful and doing that as well.